Good morning. It's good to see y'all this morning. As you know, I've been going through some messages in 2 Peter, but we're going to turn to Matthew 26 today. We'll be looking at the Lord's Supper. Last Sunday night, the elders and the deacons and their wives met for dinner, for a meeting afterwards, which we do on a fairly regular basis, try to meet quarterly to discuss the work here, to pray. And in our discussion on Sunday evening, we talked about the Lord's Supper. I went home that evening, spent much of the night awake, praying, and wondered if my own heart was a little cold to the Lord as I come to His supper. And the Lord laid it on my heart to speak today of that memorial feast, the Lord's Supper, the supper that He instituted to remember His death. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your gracious goodness to us, for the love You showed by giving up Your Son. We thank You, Father, for the institution of the Lord's Supper to remember in the bread and in the cup His giving of Himself, the giving of His body as sacrifice for sins. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would direct our hearts and our words today. Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, wills to obey. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of helps. So gracious of you all to receive Eric today to give a Gideon presentation. You know, we many times think of the Gideon ministry and the giving out of the Bibles for salvation. But the Bible is the resource of the believer to the disciple of Christ to know the way to live and to grow and be edified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our first tool, the Holy Scriptures. Second, our hymnal, our black hymnal of worship, to turn to and read through the great hymns of the centuries, remembering the life of Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension to heaven. A book I commend to you, His Dying Request by David Dunlap. We've got a couple copies in the library. We can make my copy available to you. If you'd like a copy of your own, let us know and we'll make sure you get one. And The Lord's Supper by Alfred B. Gibbs. A great discussion of the Lord's Supper and what it means, and how to grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ through remembering His death and sacrifice. We're going to look at the purpose of the Lord's Supper. We're going to look at who's to participate, and we're going to look at the preparation for that. We may not have time for all this, so we'll go to the point that we can, and then we'll pause. I hope it's a blessing to you. We go back to the setting of the Lord's Supper when it was first instituted by the Lord. Take yourself back 2,000 years to the city of Jerusalem, sitting in the upper room, the 12 disciples and the Lord. The Lord has instructed His disciples to prepare a table, to prepare the table for the Passover meal, to remember the Passover. And that is where we are in this evening as we turn to the Scriptures and read about the Lord instituting His supper, the night of His betrayal, the night before His body would be presented for death. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remissions of sins." Now if you would turn to Mark. Mark, not a direct eyewitness of the Lord's Supper, but a companion of the Apostle Peter, who was there and could relate exactly what had happened in that upper room. Mark chapter 14 and verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." And then if you would turn to Luke, the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Again, Luke not present himself at the Lord's Supper, but a companion of Paul who received direct revelation from the Lord about the Lord's Supper. And Luke was a diligent historian to search out the truths of Christ's life. And he wrote this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And finally, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul writes of the direct revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him regarding the remembrance feast. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You notice that the Lord Jesus gave thanks as he took the bread and as he took the cup. He gave thanks for the divine decision of God to extend mercy to lost sinners. He gave thanks to God for giving a satisfactory sacrifice, his own body and his own blood, to redeem sinners. The bread there that the Lord Jesus Christ broke was a symbol, a picture, if you will, of the Lord's own body given, that is, broken for sinners. Broken, speaking of death, bread broken, to put to death. He took the cup, He gave thanks for it. That cup is a, and what's inside it, the wine, is a symbol, a picture, if you will, of Christ's blood. His blood shed, his blood poured out. Blood poured out again, speaking of death. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the scriptures reads, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. An animal, a human being, are kept alive by the blood that flows through them. When the blood is removed, when the blood is shed, life is separated from that animal, from that human. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood was poured out, it was shed, and it took away his life. His body was broken." Speaking of death also. So in the bread and in the cup, we see the Lord's death, both of them speaking of his death, the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians, we'll read again from verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" We're to eat the bread and think about his death, his body broken. When we take the cup, we're to think of his shed blood, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to do this in remembrance of him. And so we see a purpose in the Lord's Supper. And we must ask ourselves, will we honor his dying request? And we will be there to remember his death. As we come to the Lord's Supper and we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are to remember his death for our sins. We need to ask ourselves individually, will we be obedient to that dying request, the request that he made on the night of his betrayal, on the night before he gave his life on the cross? And will we meet and partake of the symbols of his death, the bread and the cup, and to remember him? We ask the question, who should participate in the Lord's Supper? If we look down here in verses of 1 Corinthians, verse 11, if we continue from verse 26 there, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You know, the unbeliever has no place at the Lord's Supper. He fails to discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no knowledge, no understanding that Christ died for his sins. The atheist gives no thought to it. The agnostic gives no care to it. The unsaved man who relies on his own good works, who thinks he has some standing to God because of his good deeds, fails to discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fails to understand that Christ himself carried his sins in his body on the tree. I want to ask you today, though, who here has been saved by the grace of God, by faith and trusting in his blood? Raise your hand. And put your hand in. Those are the ones the Lord seeks to come and to remember him. Those who believe on his name. Those who have trusted him for their salvation. Turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And we'll pick it up, I guess, at verse 6. Acts chapter 20, verse 6. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them in Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul and his companions waited there in Troas till the first day of the week would come, when the disciples would come together to break bread. You know, at the birth of the church that you read about back in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, they were going from house to house daily to break bread. And that breaking of bread isn't speaking of going there to have a meal to eat, to enjoy one another's company. It's speaking there in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. The same thing is speaking about in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Where they were breaking bread, meeting together one another daily to break bread. But here we come by chapter 20, and you can see the pattern that has begun to be laid out, where the church would meet on the first day of the week, the resurrection day, when the disciples would come together to break bread. The disciples, the followers of Christ, those who were of the way, Christians. So we know who's to be here. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who've trusted in his name. But how is the Lord's Supper to be conducted? You know, it's a very simple thing. The elements, the symbols that are sitting here at the table. There's bread and there's a cup. Cups in our instance, but a cup. The bread, a simple symbol of his body. It can be loaf bread, it can be unleavened bread like we use, but bread, a symbol of his body. The other element, the cup. Here we use grape juice. Some places use wine, of none to have been used. Orange juice, or apple juice, even Kool-Aid, or soda pop, when something else was used. It wasn't what was used, but what that fluid was intended to symbolize. Christ shed blood. And so it's a very simple ceremony prepared for the people to come and remember him. Bread and wine. And we give thanks to those, and I don't know if you're still doing it, Neil, if your family comes and prepares the cup and the bread, but there's a faithful servant coming and getting it ready. A simple feast. The second part is the preparation of hearts, of our own hearts in self-judgment. We look again back in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 27. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, the believer who is in practicing sin, who's living in sin, who's continuing in sin, is not invited to partake of the elements because he does not discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his sins have been laid on Christ, and that he can come to the supper and eat freely. He can't. He fails to discern the body of Christ. But what of the man, what of the woman, what of the boy, what of the girl? He's not in the habit practicing of sin. They're not living in immorality. They're not a drunkard. They're not a continual liar. They're not stirring up discord among the brethren. They're not showing by stealing, murder, but we have sins in our heart and the things that we do that pop up regularly through the day. It says that that person, but let a man examine himself. And that man there speaks of everyone. It's a generic for person. Let every man, woman, boy, and girl examine themselves. And so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's not to happen, you know, in the first 10 minutes of the Lord's Supper. That examining of ourselves is something that's to be done through the week as we have fellowship with the Lord, as we look in His Word, as we see His Word and it reveals in us our sin. That's the time of examination before we even come and present ourselves for the Lord's Supper. To examine ourselves, to see us in the Scriptures described as sinners, and to confess whatever sin we see revealed to Him, and to go to whatever person we've wronged and confess it to them, and to repent, to turn from it, and to walk in paths of righteousness, to walk in a holiness of life. So that's part of the preparation for coming to the Lord's Supper, coming with a heart that's prepared to meet with Him, having confessed known sin. But in that process, through that week of examining ourselves and being in the Scriptures, and praying to God, speaking to Him, and listening to Him as we go through His Word, we're preparing our minds, preparing our hearts to come for true worship, true fellowship with the Lord. The Lord said to the woman at the well that the Lord desires that worship be unto Him. He desires those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it is only as we enter into the truth of His Word that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and come to know Him better and are able to fellowship with Him in worship with prepared hearts. By reading, by meditating, and by praying on the Word of God, our hearts are prepared for worship. There are a couple of segments of worship that I want to touch on. One is praise. In the instance of coming to the Lord's Supper, there's a praise that's quite appropriate, and that's giving Him praise, giving Him thanksgiving for the sacrifice of Himself for sin. There are many things that we can praise the Lord about, for His daily provision, for our families, for for the life and the career that He's given us. But when we come to the Lord's Supper, the greatest praise that He can receive is thanksgiving for the sacrifice of His Son. We come also with adoration, with hearts of love towards Him. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. I remember the first time I ever encountered Reidsville Bible Chapel. I was assigned as a Gideon to go and give a Gideon report, and it was at the YMCA. There weren't many people there. I think maybe 8 families. I remember coming home that day and telling Lois, those people love the Lord. They love their Savior because of the things they lifted up and acknowledging Him and having a deep appreciation that He laid down His life for them. I saw that again this morning as we lifted up our hearts to Him in the adoration we have had for our Savior. And then there's worship. Meditating on the Lord's excellencies, His praises, His glories, His beauties, His perfection. Declaring to God, agreeing with God, what He thinks of His own dear begotten Son. You know, there are many things that we can worship the Lord for. You know, it's interesting. This week, Warren Wiersbe has just begun a series on worship. So if you're available, turn on BBN at 8 o'clock in the morning and listen to his messages. I'm sure it's available online or some other time on BBN 95.5. But there are many things that we can worship the Lord for. His names. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Other names. Lord, Master, Teacher, Savior. The most important name to call of Him at the Lord's Supper, Savior. We can think of His attributes, grace, mercy, peace, love, goodness, kindness, meekness, self-control, long-suffering, faithfulness, joy, holiness. Last week we spoke of His peace and the peace that He gives to us. How long-suffering He was to be patient with vile sinners and is patient with this lost world. We can reflect upon His works. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the sustainer of all things. He has ascended to God and He is giving intercession for us. When He walked this earth, He went about doing good. He had compassion for people. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He set the captive free. He died on a cross for lost sinners. The most important invaluable work that he had while upon the earth to die for lost sinners. And so we come to remember him. We take the bread, we take the cup, and we remember his death. He said, do this in remembrance of me. As priests to God, we come to minister to the Lord, to the Father, to the heart of God, to give praise, to adore, and to worship his Son as we come and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We come to a simple meal, bread and cup. We come with prepared hearts, hearts that are contrite, humble, thankful, confessing our sins before him, repenting, and enjoying his goodness. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your mercy extended to us. We thank you for your Son who poured out life for life, who died for wretched sinners such as us. Father, we thank you that we can give praise from our lips, adoration and worship from our hearts. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Father, we pray for our fellowship time together as we gather around a meal. We thank you for your provision for us, Lord. We pray this food would be for the nourishment of our bodies, that we might be your faithful witnesses, that we might live lives that are glorious to you. Father, we thank you for each one that has prepared the meal, Lord. And we pray that our fellowship together would be rich as we share together in our commonality with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.